Minutes to 10 here on 612 ABC Brisbane. I'm Madonna King. Thanks for your time this morning. When you send your kids off to school, you want them to learn, have fun, make friends, a whole lot of things. And bullying is the one thing you hope your child never has to endure. But as we've talked about so often on this program, it continues to be this huge problem, not only for parents, but for teachers and politicians. Catherine Cadden is a teacher who founded a school in America back in the 1990s, and it successfully managed to eradicate bullying. Good morning, Catherine, and welcome to Australia.
Good morning.
Tell us about bullying in America. Is it a growing problem?
Well, we're seeing a great deal of violence in our schools, what we would call violence, where kids are showing up and using language or using actions that are causing a great deal of harm.
And is that little kids, bigger kids across the spectrum?
Well, I started out my educational process in the public system in California. And what I was seeing on the playgrounds, even down to kindergarten age, was a practice of violence at school. And that was my inspiration for wanting to start a school.
What did you see at that young age of 5 and 6 that indicated a child may end up being a bully?
Well, what I was witnessing was we actually had a situation when I was a student teacher in the public educational system in California where a 5-year-old did bring a gun to school.
A 5-year-old?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a great deal of how children are taught to behave to try to take care of themselves, try to protect themselves.
Good God, I can't go past the idea of a 5-year-old with a gun.
And so when I was in these schools and on the playground and witnessing the different behaviors from the level of how children spoke to one another, how teachers spoke to children. And then I was seeing the responses the school had. You know, mm-hmm. I worked in a junior high where a gun was found in a locker, so then the response was to remove all the lockers.
Yes.
And then because people were beginning to label some children bullies and how children were treating each other, I also witnessed a new rule come in called the no-hug rule, where they thought if children were kept from touching each other, then there wouldn't be a confusion. And so I was seeing more and more rules placed upon children. And one of the things that was really alive for me is I wondered if more and more rules really was going to offer these children a chance to be able to begin to act peacefully with one another.
So you ended up setting up your own school.
So I ended up starting a school. I was also simultaneously in peace studies, studying Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s philosophy on nonviolence and Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi actually did do a great deal of writing about education and how we educate could then reconstruct the society that we have.
How did your school differ from other schools?
Well, it was the premise that if what I was seeing was children getting a chance to go to school and practice violence every day, the question I asked myself was, what if they had an opportunity to practice nonviolence every day while they were in the process of academic learning? And so based on the tenets of nonviolent philosophy, I wrote a philosophy on education. And about 6 months before my school opened, I found Marshall Rosenberg's work on nonviolent communication, which is the language of life, which is now one of the things that I travel around and I bring into schools and work with educators on is nonviolent communication.
So talk us through in layman's terms what that means.
So what that means essentially is that the two of us as human beings want to connect. And we can connect at the level of human needs because all human beings on the planet have the same universal needs. It's about how we go about trying to get those needs met that creates the conflicts.
But how do you do that with 2 7-year-olds?
2 7-year-olds are going to connect the same way you and I are connecting right now. They're going to connect on a couple different levels, and then what I'm going to simply assist is that flourishing that language of needs between them as they begin to connect. Children often respond in the world as they are responded to. And so that was one of the reasons why I wanted to reconstruct a whole school, because if we have an entire school system that's continually putting on control and...
But I don't understand how your school differs from normal schools. Is there no rules or are the rules different?
There's no rules, there's no punishment, there's no reward. One of the things the kids really love to say when a new kid comes to school is, there's no principal here, you don't get in trouble.
Do they learn?
And they learn... everything.
But they learn the same academic things, you know?
The same academics. We have all the same academic classes.
But if there's no rules and no punishment, what stops a kid, a smart aleck in grade five?
Because all human beings, I truly believe, really operate from a system of wanting to contribute to another's well-being. And when kids are given an opportunity to have an environment that nourishes that desire to contribute to others, then it arises. And learning is actually a human need. And I haven't met a learner that didn't want to learn, but I've met a learner that had difficulty in expressing themselves.
So how do you deal with that child?
And so the children that have a challenge in expressing themselves, what I hope to do is educate educators and educate administrators to be able to hear these children instead of seeing a bully or seeing a child throwing a tantrum, but actually be able to connect to that child and say, okay, here's a tragic expression of human needs.
But are we subjecting children to a sanitized world if we take out harsh words?
So as far as harsh words, I guess another way I could explain this is I had the opportunity to go into schools in Argentina to do this similar work. And I walked into this, it was a huge K-12 program, very large school, and the principal, the director of the school, as they're called there, met with me, and she said, okay, I want to give you our hardest class. They're our biggest troublemakers, and the biggest bully in our school is in that class. And she was about to tell me who it was, and I said, don't tell me who it is. I don't want to know. And so I went into the class, and I played some of the games that I play to introduce this idea of coming from human needs. And for them, it was quite easy to get to human needs and the language of feelings and needs quite easily. So we played some games and connected, and we actually, in that particular class, ended coming out with agreements about safety, trust, and respect that they could keep in that class. And we walked out of the classroom, and I went up to the director, and I named who she thought the bully was, and she said, how did you know? He did nothing like he usually does, and how could you tell? And I said, well, I've often found the kids labeled bully often are so isolated from the rest of the group
that you could pick him.
That I could pick him, and they tend to have a very sensitive heart and actually are deeply longing connection.
Are you talking to schools and teachers here in Australia or in Brisbane?
I'm hoping Kate Crombie is getting a chance to find some schools that I can go into. I'll be doing some trainings here for educators while I'm visiting. Kate Crombie has started quite a bit of work here creating a culture of willingness, and she's a wonderful resource for educators.
And if people want to find out more about this compassionate communication-based Timber School, where can they go?
Well, one of my current sites they can visit is www.zenvc.org. That's zenvc.org, and that names a lot of the projects that I'm involved with right now.
Thanks for your time this morning. That's Catherine Caden, and it's zenvc.org. You're on 612 ABC Brisbane.